Today's daf is Kiddushin Daf Yura Aleph. We left off in Daf Yura Medbeis. We're in the middle of discussing a conversation that went back and forth. The context of the conversation that we were having was Gemara was trying to prove whether Bia is, when you do Kiddushin Bia, does it automatically create Nisuin as well? Or does it just make Kiddushin and not make Nisuin? So in the third of the Rayas that we brought, whether Kiddushin is Bia, whether Bia is Nisuin Osa or it's only Erisin Osa, we went back and forth about whether an Arusa Bas Yisrael is allowed to eat Truma when she has only Erisin with a Kohen. So we're going to finish up that conversation about an Arusa Bas Yisrael, what the din is on a Daraisa level, what the din is on a Drabanan level about an Arusa Bas Yisrael eating Truma. Then the Gemara is going to explain the Shita of Beis Shammai. We started the Masechta with Shita of Beis Shammai, that while they still held that in order to be Mekadesh with Kesef, you only need to give a Pruta or a Shava Pruta. Beis Shammai held that a pruta or a shava pruta is not sufficient. One needs to give a dinar or a shava dinar. So where does Beis Shammai get that idea that a dinar is important or a shava dinar is important? The Gemara is going to have really four approaches to Shitas Beis Shammai, but two of them on Amud Aleph, one of them on the bottom of Amud Beis, and one already on Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph. There are going to be four approaches to the Shita of Beis Shammai. The Gemara, in the context of discussing the dinar versus shava dinar, is going to raise the issue of when the Torah talks about kesef, what kind of kesef is that? What type of currency are we talking about? The Gemara is going to suggest that whenever the Torah talks about kesef, it's kesef tsuri. We're going to have four different challenges to the idea that whenever the Torah talks about kesef, it's kesef tsuri. We're going to bring rayas from four different places. So those are the basic topics of the daf. So essentially, we're going to first discuss Erisin, whether an Arusa Bas Yisrael is allowed to eat Truma, Midaraisa, and Midarabanan. We're then going to discuss Shitas Beis Shammai, and we're going to discuss Kesef. When the Torah uses the term Kesef, is it Kesef Tsuri or Kesef Medina, what type of currency it is. So we left off yesterday in this conversation that happened between Rabbi Yochanan Bagbag and Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. The way the conversation was originally reported was Rabbi Yochanan Bagbag said to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira that I heard you hold that an Arusa Bas Yisrael is allowed to eat Truma, that when someone has Erisin with a Kohen, she's allowed to eat Truma. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira responded from Netzivin, which is Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira's hometown. We find that also in the Gemara in Pesach and Daf Gimel Beis. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira lived in Netzivin. In fact, apparently he had trouble traveling. He wasn't himself Ola L'Regel when everyone else was Ola L'Regel. But his influence in the story the Gemara tells in Maseches Pesachim, all the way from Netzivan, was able to spread all the way to Yerushalayim. So he was a very influential person and a very well respected person. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira said, "Of course, I hold an Arusa Bas Yisrael is able to eat Truma because it's a simple Kal V'Chomer, and I'm surprised that you don't realize that it's a simple Kal V'Chomer." And the Kal V'Chomer that he suggested is that if a Shivcha Kena'anis is allowed to eat Truma simply through Kesef, through a Kinyan Kesef, even though you try to do a Kinyan Bia on a Shivcha Kananis and you cannot accomplish anything with Bia on a Shivcha Kananis, but Kesef would allow her to eat Truma. So when you're dealing with a regular woman that you're trying to marry, so where Bia would definitely allow her to eat Truma, then Kesef would for sure allow her to eat Truma as well. So Buddy said, after saying all that, but it's a din d'rabbanan that they're not allowed to eat Truma. It's a din midaraisa, the Kal V'Chomer is glat. Midaraisa, it should work. But midrabbanan mishum de'ula. What is it, mishum de'ula? What was Ula's din? Well, Ula has a concern. If you give an Arusa Bas Yisrael Truma, the girl is still living bebeis aviha, so you're going to give her Truma. You'll give her a pekel of Truma. She'll bring it to the dinner table in her father's house, and she'll share it with her brothers and her father, who are all Yisraelim, who have no heter to eat Truma. So that is Ula's concern, what the Arusa Bas Yisrael is going to do with Truma. So essentially, the first way of understanding this machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan ben Bagbag and Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira is that they're arguing on a Daraisa level whether an Arusa Bas Yisrael is allowed to eat Truma. The Rabbi Yochanan ben Bagbag holds Midaraisa, she's not allowed to eat Truma. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says Midaraisa, she is allowed to eat Truma. It's only Midarabanan that she's not allowed to eat Truma because of Ula's concern that she's going to share it with her father and her brothers. And that's obviously important to remember throughout this Masechta, the difference between an Arusa Arusa and a Nesua is that both an Arusa and a Nesua are an Eishas Ish. But an Nesua is an Eishas Ish Bebeis Habal, an Arusa is an Eishas Ish Bebeis Aviha. So that really comes out over here, where the concern is that she's Bebeis Aviha, and that she's therefore going to share the Truma with her father and her brothers. So I think we're up to Ravina Amar. Yeah, is that what we got to?
Yeah,
so Ravina Amar, about 10, 12 lines from the bottom of the page. Last one line is Ravina. Ravina Amar, Ravina says, no. The Machlokas is not a Machlokas on the Daraisa level. On the Daraisa level, everyone agrees. The whole Machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan ben Bagbag and Rabbi Ben Beseira is on the Drabbanan level. Ravina Amar, mi Daraisa, mifshat pshita le da'achla. On the Daraisa level, it is obvious, everyone agrees, that an Arusa Bas Yisrael, who has Erisin with a Kohen, is allowed to eat truma. Umidrabbanan hu deshalach lei. The whole message, the whole conversation back and forth with Rabbi Yehuda Meseir and Rabbi Yochanan Bagbag was whether midrabbanan she's allowed to eat, not whether, was why midrabbanan she's not allowed to eat truma. So everyone agrees midaraisa she is allowed to eat truma. In fact, everyone agrees according to this presentation that midrabbanan she's not allowed to eat truma. The question is, why is she not allowed to eat truma midrabbanan? And here's how the conversation went. Shamati alecha sha'ata omer arusa bas yisola chelos b'truma v'lochiyashtu l'simfon. I heard that you hold that an arusa bas yisola is allowed to eat truma, and you're not concerned about simfon. What is simfon? What does that mean? You're not concerned about simfon? So the concern is that after you have erisin, you don't know everything there is to know about the girl yet. She might have some sort of horrific mum on some part of her body. By erisin, you don't know that yet, because the couple has not been intimate yet, so they have no idea. If it turns out that she was hiding some sort of horrific mum that's going to really change the whole picture of whether he ever would have been Mekadesher, so that could create a situation of Kiddush Etaus. So while they think she's an Arusa right now because he did an act of Kiddushin, it's not a slam dunk yet. It could be that they're going to find something out about her that will retroactively make the whole Kiddushin a Kiddush Etaus. So what are you going to do? Okay, so what's the big deal? So it's a Kiddush Etaus. They didn't do anything yet. Be'erus, and she was living in Beis Aviyah the whole time. Yeah, but if you're feeding her truma the whole time, she's doing an Issa Daraisa of eating truma if she was never really in Arusa L'Kohen. So he said, that's what he sent him. I heard that you're not worried about that. That you think in Arusa Bas Yisrael, since she's allowed to eat truma on a Daraisa level, that she's, you don't have to worry about Simfon, you don't have to worry that maybe she has some sort of terrible mum. Shalach Lei, so he sent back to him, Vata. Yata Omer Kain, do you not hold the same thing? Muksakni Bach Shata Baki Bechadre Torah. I know about you that you're a great expert in Torah. Lidrosh Bekavachomer Yata Yodea. You're telling me you don't know how to darshan a simple Kavachomer. Umashiv Chakanana Shein Bielsa Machidelsa Betruma. Kaspa Machilasa Betruma Velo Cheshinil Simfon. If by a Shivcha Knanis we're not worried that there might be some mum that would retroactively void the entire sale, the Shivcha Knanis of a Kohen is allowed to eat truma, but that's only if the Kohen actually owns her. So we're not worried about some sort of mum that she might have that might void the entire sale and make her ineligible to eat truma, and therefore cause you to withhold truma from her right now. So a regular woman, where even Bia would allow her to eat truma, all the more so, just doing a Kinyan Kesef, meaning just doing Kiddush Kesef, should be enough to give her truma, and not have to be concerned that you might find a mum on her body. So even though I think it's a Kal V'chomer, and I think it's obvious that that both Midaraisa she's allowed to eat truma, and even Midrabanan we're not worried about finding a mum, but there's a different din Midrabanan that tells me that she's not allowed to eat truma. Shari Amru Chachamer Rusa Bas Yisrael Leino Echels B'truma Ad Shetikanes L'chupa Mishum Te'ula. They say that a Rusa Bas Yisrael is not allowed to eat truma until she goes into the chupa, until she actually has chupa, and that's because of Ula's din. And again, Ula's din is that she might feed it to her brothers and her father who are not Kohanim. So you claim that the issue is, you, Rabbi Yochanan Bagba, claim that the issue is that we might find a mum on her body, and that's why we're not allowed to feed an Arusa Bas Yisrael Truma. I agree that we're not allowed to feed an Arusa Bas Yisrael called Shuma, that there is such a Din Rabbanan, but not because we're concerned about any sort of Mum, rather it's because we're concerned that she might feed it to her brothers who are not Kohanim. Ben Bagbag would respond, what's your whole raya that we're not worried about finding any sort of Mum, because we're not worried about finding a Mum when it comes to an Eved and a Shivcha? So that's why, that's your proof that if by an Eved and a Shivcha, we're not worried about finding a Mum that's going to invalidate the sale, so by an Isha, we're also not worried about finding it? Ben Bagbag would respond, Simfon Bavadim Lesle. He said, you can't come up with a case where there would be a Mum on an Eved that would retroactively invalidate a sale. It doesn't happen, meaning the nature of the relationship with a wife is different than the nature of a relationship with an Eved. By a wife, there's a possibility of a Mum, of a physical Mum, that's going to be a deal breaker, and that's going to invalidate the sale. What kind of physical Mum would be a deal breaker with an Eved that would both invalidate the sale and be something that you were not already aware of at the time of the sale? That's the thing about Kiddushei Tos or about a Mekach Tos. A Mekach Tos not only has to be something that's so terrible that it would be a deal breaker, it can't just be a minor thing, but it also has to be something that you weren't aware of at the time of the sale. If you were aware of it at the time of the sale, then we assume that you were Mekabalit, that you were willing to go into the relationship with that. It has to be something that you were not aware of. It had to be something that exists also. It can't be something that only comes later on. That's the tricky issue that people sometimes try to use for Kiddushei Tos as the various creative ways that people try to be Matir Agunos. So one of them is they try to make it everything a Kiddushei Tos. You have to be very careful how you make something into a Kiddushei Tos. Had she known that he would become such an angry person, and that he would be so bitter, that he would be such a lo yuslach, that he would be this, then she never would have agreed to marry him in the first place. First of all, it's not always true. A lot of times women are willing to cope with a lot from their husbands and stick with them against all odds. But also, a lot of times, it wasn't there yet at the time of the Kiddushin, where Rav Moshe applies such dinim of Kiddushei Tos. Rav Moshe has a case where a man had serious mental health issues to the point that he was institutionalized prior to them ever being married, and he never told her about that. He didn't know she didn't know that he was institutionalized previously. So that's where Rav Moshe applies Kiddushei Tos when they went into the Yichud room and the guy freaked out and had to be institutionalized at the wedding. That was the case of Rav Moshe's, and even then, the shaila was, the guy was able to give her a get. It wasn't without a get. The shaila was, does she have to cover her hair? So Rav Moshe says, mm-hmm. She doesn't have to cover her hair. It could be that they were never married. Which anyway, Rav Moshe holds covering the hair for a grusha is only a din d'rabban. It's not a din d'oraisa. It's not as strong of a... does he hold d'rabban? He doesn't hold d'rabban. He holds d'oraisa, but it's not... It's a mitzvah saseh versus a lo saseh. So we would apply that you don't have to give up all of your money and all of your dignity in order to do it, as opposed to a lo saseh, where you have to give up a lot in order to avoid violating a lo saseh.
Is there a case where it was ever undone completely?
Well, I'm not sure. I don't know offhand. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. So says the Gemara, Ben Bagbag Simfon Bavadim Lesle, he says, you simply don't have a case where the guy wasn't aware of it by an Eved, where the guy wasn't aware of what was there at the time of the purchase, and it was such a deal breaker that it was good, that it would ruin the whole purchase of the Eved. Why? Because imum et shabagalui hu. If we're talking about a mum shabagalui, we're talking about a mum that is obvious, that's exposed, that anyone could see hakachazile. Well, then he would have seen it and he would know about this mum, and therefore he can't go claim later mekach tos. If the Eved that he bought has some sort of massive mum right across their face, he should have seen that. He should have known that. If it's a mum that's on the, let's say, the small of the back or some part of the Eved of the Shivcha that he's never going to see anyway, that's never going to be exposed, well, my nafkale mide. Why would that make a difference to him? Why is that a deal breaker? He's not buying an Eved to be intimate with. He's buying an Eved to do malacha, or a Shivcha to do malacha. So what? The Shivcha is going to be doing doing household chores? Is she going to do the household chores any worse? Is the vacuuming going to be done any worse because she has some sort of mum? Shebeseser. So that shouldn't matter. So what else? What other problems might you find with the person? Nimsa ganav of kuvyustus. Why, you're afraid that you're going to find that the person turns out to be a ganav or a kuvyustus. The person a kuvyustus is a kidnapper. So you're going to find out, well, that's at least how Rashi says over here, that it's a gonev nefashos, is a kuvyustus. So what, you're going to find out that it's a, that the eved is a ganav or a kuvyustus. So an interesting comment the Gemara says, higiyo, all of them are ganavim and kuvyustosim. That you can't act surprised when you buy an eved and it turns out that they're a ganav or a kuvyustus. Everyone knows that. So mayamit, what else could be wrong with the eved that you're going to come later and claim that the whole thing was a toast? Listim mizuyan or nichtav lemalchus, that they're a highway bandit, which is not something that all avadim are assumed to be, or that they're nichtav lemalchus, that they're chayv misa to the melech, which again is not something that all avadim and shvachos are, is not something that you knew about and accepted. Well, hanu kala islahu. Normally, when someone has such a problem that they're listim mizuyan or they're nichtav lemalchus, everyone knows about it. That's not a matter of that's a matter of public record. So something that not only does it have to be something that you didn't know about, it has to be something that you couldn't have known about easily, or that you shouldn't have known about. But if it's something that's either very obvious or very easily found out, so that's your fault for not doing due diligence, for not doing the proper research before purchasing the Eved. So at the end of the day, the machlokas between Ben Bagbag and Rabbi Dibam Seira is very, very limited. They both hold that Midal Raisa, an Arusa Bastrel, is allowed to eat Truma, and they both hold Midrabanan, according to this version of it, they both hold Midrabanan, she's not allowed to eat Truma. Their whole machlokas is, why is she not allowed to eat Truma Midrabanan? Ben Bagbag holds she's not allowed to because she might, because of Simfon, that you might find a mum on her that's going to make the whole thing kiddush. And Rabbi Ben Seira says that it's because she might feed it to her brothers and her father. So, frankly, Gemara Michti. Bein lamar, bein lamar, lo achla. So at the end of the day, both opinions hold. She's not allowed to eat truma, midrabanan. So my benai, what's the nafkamina between these two deos if everyone agrees that the halacha is the same? So says Gemara, three nafkaminas. Iki benayu, kibel, masar, vahalach. The nafkaminas are three cases. Kibel, masar, and halach. What are those three cases? So Rashi tells us. Kibel alav es hamumim mishum simfon lakum mishum diuli ika. Kibel means that the guy says in advance, I don't care what kind of physical blemishes she has, I fully accept whatever she is, whatever she has, that's perfectly fine by me. So that's kibel. So then you can't say if he accepted in advance any mum that she might have, you can't say that we're not going to feed her truma because she might have a mum and the kiddusha might be tals. That he's taken that off the table. That's not going to be an issue anymore. But a concern that she might feed it to a brother, that's still a legitimate concern, so that would be enough kamina. Masar is masara av l'shluchei abal, and halach is osha holchu shluchei av im shluchei abal va'od b'derech. Meaning the point is, both by masar and halach, is that she's on her way, moving. She's in the moving truck from her father's house to her husband's house, and her father's not with her anymore. She is right now on her own already. She's not going to be with her family anymore. Her next meal is going to be at her husband's table. So at that point, you could give her truma in the moving truck, and you don't have to worry that she's going to give it to her father and her brother. That's if your concern is that she might share it. But if your concern is Simfon, he has not yet seen her, he has not yet been intimate with her to know whether she has some sort of terrible mum shebeseser or not. So if you hold that's the concern, then we would not be allowed to give her truma even if she's in the moving truck already. So a couple of things over here. First of all, kuvyustos. What exactly does the word kuvyustos mean? So Rashi says kuvyustos means a gonev nefashos, a person who is a kidnapper. Tosfos raises a question from the Gemara Maseches Bechoros. The Gemara says that Shaul Kuntrikus Hatafser is Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. When he asked Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai the following, when Moshe Rabbeinu collected shkalim from Bnei Yisrael, so you find the number of the shkalim, the amount that he collected, was Masayim ve'echad kikar ve'acharasar mana, and when they brought the kesef to the Mishkan, it was only Mea mana. So he says, what was Moshe Rabbeinu doing with the extra money? Was he a ganav haya, o kuvyustos haya, o enu baki b'cheshbonos? And the three options he gave was that he was a ganav, so you understand that, he was he was pocketing the money. You understand, Eino Baki Bechashbonos, he was a bad accountant, and he was a bad treasurer, and therefore he didn't have the Cheshbonos properly. Or Kuvyustus, if Kuvyustus means that he's a kidnapper, what does it have to do with missing Shkalim? What does being a kidnapper have to do with missing Shkalim? So Tosos and Maseches Chulin and Daf Tzadi Aleph and Beis suggest that this idea, this word Kuvyustus, relates to the first question of Kuntrikus HaTafser, not to that question that he says that Kuntrikus HaTafser also asks him about the counting of the Levium, that you find that when they're counted in by family, if you add up all the numbers, it's Esrim Vishnayim Elef Vishalosh Meos, it's 22,300, whereas Bechlolan, when the total number is given, it just says Esrim Vishnayim Elef. So he asks him, what happened to those extra 300 Levium? That's where he's suggesting Kuvyuslus, on the 300 missing Levium. It's not on the missing Shkalim, it's on the missing people. So even though he mentioned it in the context of the question on the Shkalim, it could be that Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai didn't answer until he finished all of his questions. So that's how Kuvyustus snuck its way in to that conversation. In Maseches Basran, Sadi Beis and Beis, Tosas also deals with this, and Tosas says that the Shkalim were connected Yisrael. So when you stole a Shekel, it's as if you were going to have Nefashos, meaning when we gave Shkalim, it was a Shekel to represent each person. So that's why he used such a melitza of Kuvyustus, that it's as if he's stealing a Nefesh mi Yisrael. However, Tosfos disagrees with Rashi anyway. Tosfos thinks it has nothing to do with Goniv Nefashos based on the Gemara in Maseches Bava Basra. Tosfos in Bava Basra rejects Rashi anyway, because the Gemara over there says that if you find an Evet to be a Kuvyustus, it's not a Mekach Tos. And our Gemara says, if you find an Evet to be a Kuvyustus, it's not a Mekach Tos, because come on, all Avadim are Ganavim and Kuvyustosim. So there are people that will employ, let's say, a housekeeper for many years, knowing that she's stealing from them, but she's only stealing little things and she does a good job otherwise, or whatever, and we just got to be a little more careful. This happens Maisim B'chol Yom, that people do. But if they know that she's kidnapping their children, so they probably wouldn't keep her around very long if they know that she's a kidnapper. So what does that mean? All Avadim are Kuvyustosim, and we would accept that? We would just be okay with that? Tosfos says it can't be. It can't be that Kuvyustos means a Goniv Nefashos, and everyone's just accepting it. The Ritva just adds more, that including what the Gemara says, that Nichtav L'Malchus should be someone who's Goniv Nefashos, because if you're going to the Nefashos, you would think that whatever Malchus you live in would want them. So why is it that that's considered a separate din? So a group of Rishonim suggests that Kuvyustus means something else entirely, and this, I guess, is a Dafyomi coincidence with March Madness. It's a Mesachik B'Kuvya. It's someone who gambles. So Kuvyustus is a gambler. That the Eved is a gambler, that's something that you know, that they're all degenerates. Gambling is considered to be, by Chazal, whether Aser or not Aser, which is debatable, it's definitely considered a degenerate behavior. It's not considered a normal, dignified behavior for people to have. In our degenerate culture, it's considered a normal behavior that everyone gambles. But that's not proper. That's not a Jewish perspective. We view it as a degenerate behavior for a person to have. Okay, so that is just in terms of the definition of the term kuvyustos. There's a lot more to say, but I don't want to get caught at the end. So let's go weiter. Bekesef Beishamei Omrim Bedinar Ubeshava Dinar. Beishamei had said that when it comes to Kiddush HaKesef, you don't give a pruta, you give a dinar or a shava dinar. So Maitamei Ad Beishamei. Where does Beishamei get the idea that it's a dinar or a shava dinar rather than a pruta or a shava pruta? Normally when we talk money, we talk about a pruta. Pruta is normally the magic number to make something a reasonable amount of money that counts as something. So Gemara going to have four approaches, but it's going to be slow. It's all the way through tomorrow's daf that we get to all four. So approach number one. Amar Rabbi Zera, Shekein Isha Makpedas Alatzma Vein Miskadeshes Pepachas Midinar. It's about a mindset that a woman is makvid about herself. She would not give herself up for less than a dinar. She has some sense of pride and self-respect. What, for a pruta? I'm going to be Mekadeshes to you? No, she wouldn't do that. Amli Abaye El Me'at. So Abaye says, is it really subject to each woman's subjective self-worth? If that were the case, Kigon Binte Rabbi Yanai, the captain of Shayev, Lomakachi Box, Mitirkovid the Dinri. What about the Binte Rabbi Yanai that are very makbid about themselves and would never give themselves over for anything less than a small fortune? Hachanami di Pashto Yada Vikibla Chad Zuzu Me'acher. Hachanami Dlav Kiddushin. So you want to tell me that if they accept a single Zuz rather than a whole Tirkovid the Dinri, that they're not going to hold a bag full of dinars that they're not going to be mukdashes because they're such a dignified group? I mean, you really want to make it dependent on how a person views themselves as opposed to making it just one rule across the board? What's your question? If she was mekabel kiddushin from someone, whether it's a valid kiddushin? Well, if she's mekabel kiddushin, then obviously she doesn't hold herself in such high regard. If she was mekabel one dinar, then I'm not talking about such a case. Ki kamina, what I'm talking about is the kitcha belele inami deshav yishliach. I'm talking about a case where she didn't know exactly what she was getting. What assumption can we make about an amount of money that she would have been happy to get? And what it sounds like the response is, Abaye's, Rabbi Zera's response is that enoch inami, that if you would give her a full dinar, she would not be mukadeshes because these bin said Rabbi Anai, because they as long as she thought it was more money than it actually was, because she does have this high level of dignity, this high level of self respect. Now Shitas Rashi, the way Tosas explains Shitas Rashi, is that the main kasha the Gemara of Pashti Yada the Kibla Chadzuza, that it shouldn't be a kiddushin. The main kasha of the Gemara is that once she's agreed to be miskadesh with less than the tirka of the dinri, it's not mistaver that she shouldn't be able to be miskadesh with such a small sum. So the Atzmas Yosef asks, why does the Gemara only ask from Bintei de Rabbi Anai? L'chor, we could have asked this about any woman, that if Pashti Yadav v'kibla kiddushin pachos mi dinar, meaning Beis Shammai wants to say a dinar and a shav a dinar, so what if a woman says, I don't care, I'm willing to take a pruta? Why do we have to bring in people who are so makbid about themselves, who hold themselves in such high regard that they're only going to be accept kiddushin if it's a small fortune? It could be on any woman who's megaladas that she's happy with less. So why does Abaye only ask from the Bintei de Rabbi Anai according to Rashi? So the Atzmas Yosef suggests that by other women there's reason to assume that even if she agrees to be miskadish with less than a dinar, the kiddushin would not be chal, because we might say batla daita meitzel shar nashim, that since most women normally would be makbid dafka on a dinar, she should not hold herself in such low regard. And if she does, we assume that that's an aberration and that's not normal. Therefore, the kiddushin would not be chal. So that's why Beis Shammai says an isha is never miskadeshes with less than a dinar, and that doesn't depend on the ratzon isha, because even if she's maskim, it wouldn't work. But Bintei de Rabbi Anai, we have a good kasha from, because we see that they're not like rov nashim. So you can't say that batla daitan etzel kalit. Let's say they wanna be like rov nashim for this act of kiddushin, even though normally they have this hakpada on themselves. That was the Gemara's kasha, and then the Gemara's answer is, yeah, if they have this, if they're mochel the hakpada, so they're mochel the hakpada, and then certainly it would work with less than the amount of that they would normally be makir about, with less than a tirk of a didinri. Now Tos says, well, then in the sata devarach l'shirum, every single person is going to be miskadeshes lefi daita, and Beishame sounds like, Beishame didn't sound like he was just opening up a door to making every woman set her own price. Beishame sounded like he was saying a dinar or a shava dinar. So the way Rashi understands this Gemara, it's just like, you know, it's complete hefker. It's like every woman puts her own price tag on herself, and that's crazy. The Ritva asks further, why does it say, why does it even mention a dinar, according to the way Rashi understands it? The word dinar doesn't mean anything. It's not about a dinar. It's about whatever price she wants to put on herself. So very, very difficult. So the Achronim work on being Miyashiv Shitas Rashi, but however you're Miyashiv Shitas Rashi, the other Rishonim disagree with exactly how to understand this Gemara. Tosos explains the kasha of the Gemara according to Rashi a little bit differently. Tosos says the kasha of the Gemara according to Rashi, that the din of kesef is totally based on the hakpada of the woman, and since the woman is makbit to be miskadish davko with the shavadinar, memela pachos midinar is never considered to be kesef, so it has nothing to do with her askama. And even if the woman is maskim to be mekadish be pachos midinar, the kiddush should not be chal. So Abaye says, so then Bintei de Rabbi Anai should not be able to be miskadish either, because by them that's what kesef is. That's the value of that's what money is to them. So mela, less than that is not considered kesef at all. So even if they're maskim, it shouldn't be chal. And the Gemara's answer is that if pashu yedeim and they're makabel, they could be makadish even with a shavapruta, because the din mamun is not totally on the hakpada of the woman. Even a shavapruta is considered mamun. Beis Shammai is just saying that if she's makadish b'layla or alidei shliach, that's what Beis Shammai is makadish, that since a woman is makbit to be mekadesh, it's only with the dinar, the shliach has to accept that amount of money. So that's what Rashi adds, that the daughters of Rabbi Yane, since they're makbit on a tirk of a dinri, so the shliach has to be mekabel that amount of money. But so essentially he's saying is that even Beis Shammai would say that it's only a pruta and a shava pruta, and it's just that depending on the woman, meaning pruta and shava pruta is the definition of kesef still, but depending on the woman, maybe that number could change. But Rishonim have to come up with other interpretations, because it's very difficult to assume that nasata devrechel is shurim in that way. So the Gemara, a second possible answer. Rav Yosef Amar, where does Beis Shammai get this idea of dinar or shava dinar? Tamar Beis Shammai Rav Yudam Ravasi. Tamar Rav Yudam Ravasi called kesef amar b'tura kesef amar b'torah kesef tsuri v'shal devreim kesef medina. Whenever the Torah talks about kesef, it's always talking about kesef tsuri currency, and whenever the Rabbanan talk about kesef, it's always kesef medina. A kesef tsuri is 8 times the value of kesef medina. Now, kesef tsuri, there is no currency called pruta. Pruta is shal nechoshes. There is no such thing in kesef tsuri. So Mele Beis Shammai says that if you're going to be mekadesh nisha with kesef, and this is a din d'oraisa, it can't be with a pruta, because there's no such thing in Torah currency. So it must be that it's a dinar, and that's a din mid'oraisa, and it has nothing to do with harakpada. It's just what the Torah is always talking about. That's the discussion the Rishonim have when it comes to the ksuba. The Rishonim have a discussion, is the Tanaim, the Amoraim, and the Rishonim all have a debate whether ksuba is d'oraisa or ksuba is d'rabbanan. The problem with saying ksuba is d'rabbanan is that there's a widely accepted text in the ksuba that here's the kesef zuzi masan t'chazulichi mida oraisa, that you deserve mida oraisa. So some of the Rishonim say, oh, so you see that ksuba is d'oraisa. Others say, no, ksuba is d'rabbanan. T'chazi lichi midoraisa means it's kesef tsuri, that the type of kesef we're talking about in the ksuba is Torah type of kesef, which has 8 times the value of the Rabbanan type of kesef. It's an entirely different kesef. That's why we've pointed out that people make a mistake. Rav Shechtelek pointed out people make a mistake. They assume that a ksubas almana is half of a ksubas basula. That a basula is masayim and almana is mana. So we're always trained to think that it's half of a ksubas basula. Ksubas almana is definitely the Rabbanan, and the kesef is the Rabbanan. So it doesn't say the chazlichim daraisa but a ksubas almana. So if the kesef is the Rabbanan, it's actually 1/16 of a ksubas basula. Ksubas pesula is kesef midaraisa. Okay, gufa. Amar Rav Yudam Rav. Once we mention the second answer, we're going to work on this idea for a little bit. Kol kesef amar b'tor kesef suri v'shal devreim kesef medina. Whenever we talk about kesef midaraisa, it's kesef suri, midarabon, it's kesef medina. Uklalahu? Is this really a rule that carries throughout? V'harei taina d'chsiv. What about when you're making a taina in a case of moda b'miktsas that the Torah talks about, where it says you give someone kesef o kelim l'shmar, and then you ask for it back, and the guy says, no, you only gave me less than that. Utnan, and the Mishnah says shvus adayanim, when you're dealing with a shvus moda b'miktsas, or shvus adayanim, shvus moda b'miktsas is a classic example of shvus adayanim. Hataina shtei kesef v'alda shav pruta, that the value of the minimum values of the debate has to be that the guy says you owe me shtei kesef, and he has to be moda to owing at least the shava pruta. So you see the pruta plays a role on a din d'oraisa. So don't tell me that whenever we're dealing with d'oraisas, it's always kesef tsuri. So says Murno, hasam dumya de kelim. Over there, it's dumya de kelim, meaning when we make this, when we say that the guy asked for his money back, it says he gave you kesef or kelim and asked for his money back. So with the kesef, has to be similar to kelim. Ma kelim shnayim af kesef shnayim. So we learn that just like kelim, by definition, is plural, it has to be two kelim. So we say kesef, it has to be shtei kesef. So it has to be that it's shtei kesef, that's the taina. Uma kesef davar chashuv af kelim davar chashuv. And just like kesef, that the Torah talks about is a davar chashuv, so too by the tviya on kelim, it also has to be a davar chashuv. But if it doesn't have, but if the two kelim are two needles or something, then it wouldn't be anything. So that's where we get the idea that it's the taina has to be shtei kesef specifically by shvus hadayanim. So the hodah. is obviously going to be worth less than Shtei Kesef. So frankly, Gemara, but Hare Meiser, what about by Meiser Sheni, where they take the peros and they eat them in Yerushalayim, and when you dechsiv, the pasuk says that if bringing the peros to Yerushalayim is too much of a burden, you could be poded for money. Vitzarta Kesef biyadcha, you could be mechal the peros on Kesef. Utnan in Maseches Meiser Sheni, it says haporet selim mimos Meiser Sheni. If someone had prutos of nechoshes that he was mechalal meiser sheni on, and they finally are together are worth the sell a kesef, so then he could exchange them for a kesef so that it shouldn't be too much of a burden. He could switch them out for a sell of kesef to bring them to Yerushalayim. But you see that lechachil is allowed to be mechalal meiser sheni on prutos of nechoshes, but this is a din d'oraisa of being mechalal meiser sheni. So how can you say that you're allowed to use prutos shel nechoshes? I thought it's all kesef tsuri. So Gemara says kesef ha kesef, that the number of times that it says kesef, when it comes to chil, it says v'nasata ba kesef, v'tsarta ha kesef, v'nasata ha kesef. So riba, so each time tells me that even other types of currencies are included. Fract the Gemara, I'll give you a third example. Vare hegdish. Someone wants to be mechalal nechasim of hegdish and make them chulin. Chsiv nasna kesef become low, that he gives in exchange for the hegdish. He gives kesef and they become chulin. Va'amr Shmuel, and Shmuel holds hegdish shavu mana, that if you have a hegdish that's worth 100 dinar, shechulal shavu pruta, that you mechalal on something that's worth a pruta mechulal, that it works even with a pruta. But according to Ravasi, how could it be chal on a pruta? There is no kesef tsuri that's called the pruta, and this is kesef midor raisa. So says Gemara, hasam nami kesef kesef yalef mi meiser. Over there also we learn from meiser kesef kesef. So just like by meiser, we allowed a pruta because of all the ribuys. So too over here. I last case vary kedusha isha dechsev ki ikach. And we learn what is kicha. We learn that it's kesef, that there's such a thing called kiddushay kesef from stei efron. And Beisil holds that it's bepruta b'shavu pruta. Name Ravasi damar k'beishamai. So do you think Ravasi is locking himself into shitas beishamai when he says whenever you have kesef in the Torah, it only means kesef tsuri? Because Beisil holds apparently your pruta is enough to do kiddushay isha. So it's ironic. We only came on to Ravasi because of Beis Shammai, but still Ravasi shouldn't have to depend on Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai might have to depend on Ravasi, but Ravasi shouldn't have to depend on Beis Shammai. So says Mara Eli Yitmar Hachi Yitmar Amr B'dem Ravasi called Kesef Chatzuv Ha'amr Batara Kesef Suri V'shal Devrayim Kesef Medina. Add one word into the presentation. It's not that any time the Torah says Kesef that it's always Kesef Suri. It's whenever the Torah gives a set amount of Kesef, the Torah gives a dollar amount, that's when it's Kesef Suri. And whenever the Rabbanon give a dollar amount, it's Kesef Medina. My Kamashmalin, what's the great Chiddush? Tanina, we already know. Chamesh Shlom Shal Ben, the 5 Shlom used for Pidyon HaBen. Shloshim Shal Eved, the 30 Shlom that you have by a din of an Eved, that you chayiv someone who's shor, kills an Eved Kanani, that you have to pay Shloshim Shlom. Chamishim Shal Ones, the 50 that you have to pay if a guy is Ma'anes in Nara. Vishal Mefator, if someone is Mefator, someone seduces in Nara. Mea Shal Motzi Shemra, the chiv of Mea Kesef for someone who's Motzi Shemra and his wife. Kulam B'shekla HaKadosh B'mon HaTzim. We already have a Beferish of Brisa that says like this, that we have a Beferish of Mishnah rather, Maseches Bechoros, that says like this, that it's Kesef Tzuri. So what's your great Chiddush in telling us that we're using Kesef Tzuri over here whenever it's a Dover Katzuv? So says Gemara, you're right, that's not the Chiddush. Vishal Devrayim Kesef Medina, Tzrichalei. The great Chiddush of Ravasi is that Midrabanan, whenever we give a set amount, it's always Kesef Medina. Titania, as the Brisa tells us, Hatokei L'chavero nosin lo sela, that if someone makes a loud noise into his friend's ear and he embarrasses him because of that, he has to give him a sela for the Dmei Boshes. That's what the Chum assessed the Boshes of an Adam Beinoniyat. V'lo teima mai sela arba zuzei. So Ravasi is coming to tell us, don't make the mistake of thinking that a sela means that it's a sela tsuri, that it's four dinars. Rather, elamai sela palga de zuza. A sela is not 4 dinars, it's a half of a zuz. It's a half. It's a chatzi zuz, which is a sala medina, 1/8 of a sala tzuri. That people call it a sela because that's the kesef medina. So that's the whole chiddush. Not about the kesef tzuri, that we know already. The whole chiddush is about the kesef medina. So far we've given two explanations for shitas Beis Shammai of why Beis Shammai insists on a dina rather than a pruta. Tomorrow we'll pick up with the next two explanations of shitas Beis Shammai and a lot more fun topics.